All right, continue. I was trying to get it recorded. You kept going.
Yes, we, as I think the young people, the responsibility is still on the older ones, because the Bible says that the old must teach the young. The older women must teach the young women, and the older men must teach the young men. And we must pass the lineage down. We must pass it down to them, almost force-feed it to them, because they don't even know what they're missing. They don't even know that they are not getting the nutrients in them from our culture. They don't even know that they don't have the root, the ground, the foundation. And this is what they need in order to make our race a stronger race in families, so the men will take back their families, and so that the women won't feel as they're nothing and you know, thinking that their men hate them in our culture, and the men thinking that, you know, there's better outside of our culture, you know, and the children feeling like my mother and father never did anything, or they never contribute anything to the world because of their color. You know, this has to be changed, the mentality, by the renewing of the mind, biblically and historically. It has to be changed. And it comes in learning, because this is why it's affecting me today, because I'm learning, and I went to college, and I learned about humanity, and I'm in a biblical school, because now I'm learning about historical biblical truth, because this truth is teaching me something. It's opening up things inside of me. It's opening up things that were closed to me, things that I had wonders. I didn't understand why I didn't know my culture. I didn't understand why I saw my people only viewed as bad on TV, like that's all we did. You know, I didn't understand why I thought that we weren't smart, that we could never accomplish anything, because that was never modeled to me. You know, so of course, if it's not modeled to you and you don't see it, how do you mimic it? How do you follow it? It's like a psychological thing. Your environment is important. Your people, who you are around, what you feed yourself, what you indigest through your eye gates and your ear gates and your mouth gate, everything that you let into you becomes a part of who you are. And so we need to pour out to our youth. Reach out. Tell them they need to hear. They need to receive it. They need to know who we really are and why. Don't be angry now. It's okay. If you are angry, get over it. But realize that we as a people need to make some changes in how we think, how we raise our families, how we love our men, and how we love our women. We as a people need to change, because what was inflicted upon us was not something that we did to our own race. It was put upon us. It was pushed upon us. It was taken. It was possessed. It was not something that we did to make our race the way it is. It was something that was done to us. And when we can understand that when something, it's just like taking a little child as a baby and never loving that child, never letting that mother bond with that child will not know love. Because why? It was never taught. There was no example, no role model. So why would we be any different? Because things were taken from our race, from our generations, and this is why our children today have shortcomings. This is why we have shortcomings. This is why our grandparents and our great-grandparents had shortcomings, because our race had been tampered with. Our race was almost destroyed. But Yahshua didn't allow. He saved the remnant, as he always does. He saved that remnant And he didn't keep us here for no reason. There is a purpose. For we are like the people of Israel, the smallest nation, but very powerful. Very powerful. Because your resistance is built up through hurt and pain and suffering. And you're stronger even though, because you've been abused and hurt, it looks like you're weak. But you're not. Our people has to come together and not hate those adversaries or those who Elohim allowed, because he is not out of control. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he is not out of control of what has happened through history. He allows things, just like he allows the enemy to do things. But he said that all things will work out according to his purpose. That means everything. And nobody has done anything to us that Elohim did not allow, because he is almighty. He is God, Abba, our Father, and he is in absolute control. We must understand that our fear is not man, and the reverence of fear should be God, because it shows us how powerful he is. And if he really wanted to wipe us out as a race, he could have allowed it. But we are here for a reason. And we must seek what thus saith the Lord for our purpose on this earth, for him to get the glory out of it.
Now, most of our young people are killing each other and killing themselves because of the psychological warfare that has been perpetrated on them.
What they're doing is not the root. What they're doing is the manifestation. And when we focus on the manifestation and not the root of it, then all we see is what's in front of us. Yahshua Selah is deep. He is deep. And he goes beyond the surface. It's in the root. It's in the root. The root of our culture. The root of our children. It's in the root. They are killing out of the manifestation of what's going on in the root. And that's where we got to get back to. The root of the issue. The root of the pain. The root of the problem. The root of the situation. Because that's where it comes from. It's just like a tree. If the root is rotten and the root is dying, what comes out on the tree will be evident of what's going on underneath. And that's the same thing with the children.
So I guess they got to go to schools like this and build the curriculum.
Yes.
And accept it. I mean, because it's up to the parents to give it to the children. If they don't, their children can't just choose on their own. As we learn and as we develop, I guess we have to push it on.
But like you said, to those who are willing, it will be there.
Yep, that is correct. But as you know, there's many obstacles to keep you from it, as you know for yourself, all the obstacles. And, you know, it don't take much of us to give up sometimes.
Well, but I think if we look at it in an individual way, it may be true, because we feel hopeless, because it seems like such a tough battle, such a large hill to climb. But if we look at it as a whole, we can see that we are not giving up, and we have not given up. We are still fighting. We are still pushing. We are still standing. Even though we may feel weak, we are still standing as a people, as a culture. It hasn't stopped. The pain hasn't stopped. The abuse has not stopped. The assaults on our families and our race and our culture has not stopped. And we have not stopped. We are hurt. We are wounded. Some of us are in tears when we find out the truth. Because who wants to think that they're in a nation that tried to destroy them, wipe them off the map? And we still have to show love to these people. Who wants to think that? But it's true. He said, love them, for they know not what they do. And the more they afflict us, the stronger we become, the more we grew. We haven't given up. We feel like giving up. Sometimes we think it's no use. But if you can just touch one, the angels are shouting. He said, if you could bring one to me, one to Christ, the angels are dancing.
Amen. Okay, we're going to get to page 47.
Okay.
Where we had ended. You there with
yeah.
me? Okay.
47. In what part of 47?
Okay, we left off right before number 17. The underlined portion?
Oh, yeah, yes, I got it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with that first length sentence where it starts the underline. Now it is argued in view of the fact that the Mosaic law is at least 400 years the younger of the two. It's comparing African laws versus the Mosaic law. That's what the comparison is. These resemblances constitute strong evidence that the Haribaric law is the intermediate or the remote source of the Mosaic civil and criminal legislation. So what it's saying is that the African laws we know existed, if it starts with Adam, before Moses, we're talking about minimum 2,400 years or 2,500 years. Prior to what we call the Mosaic law, that these people were practicing, and that's how the civil laws came in existence, criminal laws and everything that we have on the books in almost every society. And that the African was, so the Mosaic laws were taken from the African laws. And that's what people don't want to say. But that's the truth. Even African black Christians, they still don't want to say accept that neither. Because they're missing the point. See, there's three parts to this thing in time. Each one is 2,000 years difference. And the last one, which we will have the 1,000-year reign, which make the 7,000th sabbatical millennium. When we look at those three prior to that, everybody wants to pick up with Abraham, and they missed the first 2,000 years. And the only reason why they want to pick up with Abraham is because of the European Jews, that they believe that they're white. And so they know they can't prove prior to that, so they try to ignore it. But the so when you pick up with the Mosaic laws, they are nothing but a continuation of the African laws, because it's an African book. And that's what the Bible was trying to get us to see in the beginning when it talked about the four rivers or the first three civilizations that existed. And that becomes important because everything that builds on that, you know, is emanates from us. Okay, so the next part says, with these facts, I hope you can see that Elohim gave Adam the law of Elohim, not the law of Moses, not the law of the Jews, but Adam was given the law of Elohim. Adam gave it to his children, and it was continually passed from father to son for many generations. And that's what you were saying. We have to get back to the original. Not what's being taught in the school systems, not what's being taught in the theology schools, not what's being taught in the churches, but back to its original. Yes, we can do what our forefathers did. Adam passed it on, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, and so forth. Let me conclude by saying that by the time Moses wrote the law, it had been practiced by all the faithful servants of Yahweh. The results of a comparative study of the African, Jewish, and Christian religion has amazed many who have undertaken that task. And that's what we're doing. We're doing the comparisons between the African, the Jewish, and the Christian religions, and finding that the source of the Jewish and religion and Christianity is nothing but an offshoot from its original source, the African religion. Practically, all the Ten Commandments were embedded in the African Constitution ages before Moses went up Mount Sinai in Africa in 1491 BC, a rather late date in African history. Now, the date here that these people put on here for 1491 and, you know, 1492, do you remember the two major events that happened from BC to AC?
1491 to 1492.
Mm-hmm. One is BC, one is AD. Well, in 1491 here, or 1492, whatever you want to use here, is when Moses went and received the Ten Commandments.
You said 1491, Moses received the commandment?
Yeah, that's where they're putting the Exodus, yes. That's what it said here. It said practically all the Ten Commandments were embedded in the African Constitution ages before Moses went up Mount Sinai in Africa in 1491 B.C. So they're saying that in 1491 BC, not AD, is when Moses was, when they were in the Exodus, and that's when they believe he went up to get the commandments.
So they're saying that's when Moses brought the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that's what they're saying here, around that time frame, right? Because they were 40 years in the wilderness, and they left Egypt. And so the question here is, I'm asking, is that there's a parallel in dates. 1492, a major event occurred in AD. 1491, 1492, in BC, we can see that that's when Moses and them were receiving the commandments from Mount Sinai. So my question was to you, what happened in 1492 A.D. that was of major significance, just as receiving the Ten Commandments were of major significance in B.C.? Now, the Europeans would tell you Christopher discovered America. That's what they would say.
On that one.
That's the year the last Moor was kicked out of Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1492 A.D. So it's always good to think about the time frames, because time becomes very important, as
yes.
you see. So there's lots of nice parallels. And as they had said, all of those things that were, so Moses was just repeating back and giving to Israel what was given to the Africans. That's all he did. So that the people could, who was in the wilderness, so that they could build now a kingdom if they decided to follow Yahweh in the land of milk and honey where he was taking them.
You gave me two dates.
Yes.
What was the other date?
1491 B.C. and 1492 A.D.
Okay.
They're basically the same. They're just, one is on the A.D. scale and one is on the B.C. scale. And I want to make sure that we can separate A.C. from B.C. And we can see that there are major parallels.
So 1491 B.C. was Moses brought the Ten Commandments. 1491 A.C. was the last Moors was defeated. No, that's 1492 was the last Moor.
That's
A.C., right?
Is that A.D. or B.C.? You have to keep the difference. I know you
1491 A.C., the last Moors.
A.C. or B.C.?
It was after. It was after Christ. It was A.C.
There's no A.C. after his death. It's A.D.
I'm an A. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
So it's 1491 A.D.
No, 1492 is the same year Christopher claims he's discovered America.
1492, the last Moor was defeated and kicked out of Europe, right?
That is correct.
A.D.
A.D. or B.C.?
See, that's the part that's confusing me. I think it's A.D.
Okay. Isn't it after the death?
Yes.
Okay, then it has to be. It can't be before. We're not talking about before. We're not talking about Moses' time, right?
Yeah, I was saying A.D. I thought you wasn't agreeing with me.
No, I'm just trying to make sure. Sometimes you get them crossed, so I'm trying to make sure you have a... Because if you talk to people and you get them crossed, they're going to look at you crazy.
Okay. I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. And the other one, you could use approximately... I mean, these are approximate dates, so 1492 B.C. would be okay. 92, 91, the same thing, basically.
Okay.
So that you don't have to worry about that 1 year difference.
Okay.
So you can keep things clear in your mind. Mm-hmm. So these are major events that should be, kept in mind. that people should realize so that we don't misunderstand or misinterpret what's going on. Otherwise, we wind up in a shortfall,
yeah,
which we don't want, right? Okay, so now,
yeah,
now that we're able to try to understand what's been going on, hopefully this gives us a better picture of what was actually going on in the time of Abraham and Moses and so forth, and why people start at a particular time in history, of why they want to start with Abraham and not with Adam. And the first time I noticed that was when I was, I think, in Michigan. I was in Michigan. I was at an interview on the phone. And we were talking about people of color in the Bible. And we were trying to get insight. And the guy asked me to start with whoever I wanted. And I started with Adam and started dealing with the DNA and all of that and the fossil. And he said, okay, so he said he'll give me that. But then he said when we return from the intermission commercial, he wanted to jump to Abraham. He's finished with Adam. And then that's when I realized that, see, that's what they say. See, we know Adam, Abraham was white because the European Jews that exist today. So that was their premise. And so that's why even black Christians, they're going to start with Abraham. They're not going to start prior to that. And they'll, you know, they'll be fighting it to the tooth and nail, not realizing that, you know, when you look at where Abraham came from, of Ur of the Chaldees in the book, it's crystal clear. He came right out of Sumer. He came out of right out of the land of Nimrod, according to the Bible. So it's, as some would say, that's an amazing thing of what was actually going on. And as Yahweh built that and allowed all of that to happen until we come down to where we are today. So I want to make sure that we can see the 6,000-year period who worship Yahweh, this 4,000 period who worship Yahweh, and this last 2,000 period who worship Yahweh. And how one built on the other. Do you see that? That's where my questions are now trying to focus in, so that one builds on the other. It's not one created from nothing and just created its own existence. You sort of understand what I'm asking?
No, would you repeat the question again, please?
Okay. What I want to make sure that we understand is over the 6,000-year period, as we enter into the 1,000-year reign,
mm-hmm,
okay, there's a certain group of people that have worshipped him for 6,000 years, a certain group that have worshipped him for 4,000 years, and a certain group that has only worshipped him for 2,000 years.
And the first, you want to know who the first group was?
Of each of the groups, there's three of them, and how one depended on the other to get its existence so that it can accept Yahweh.
The first group was the Africans, 2000 B.C. They worshipped him. And then the second group,
Wait. The first group is what? You said the Africans, and when did theirs start, and who did it start with?
It started with Adam, 2000 B.C.
No, it can't be 2,000 B.C. because we're in 2,000 A.D. That would give you 4,000
years, right? 2,000 years. The first 2,000 years was started with Adam.
At what date?
It would be when it started. Would be.
Yep. When was the fall of Adam and Eve?
It would be. It was near the beginning. The zero AD, right? I mean,
no,
the beginning.
Nope. Zero AD is when the Messiah came. That's 4,000 years too late. When he shows up, it's 4,000 years been going on by the time the Messiah gets here at zero.
Okay. So the first people who worshiped Yahweh was the African. I got that established. Am I right?
Right. But who was the African that started it?
Adam and Eve.
Okay. And what type of Africans were they?
Nubian.
Okay. Yep, see, they're now you're getting it. Okay. And at what time did Adam and Eve fall?
When did they fall?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how many years did the Africans follow Yahweh and know Yahweh?
I believe the Africans from the beginning of time, so 6,000 years from the beginning of time.
Okay, it was 6,000 years, but when did it begin? What time frame?
See, that's what I'm... that one I'm kind of stuck on. And you,
okay, when is AD and when is BC? What do they stand for?
BC is before Christ.
Okay,
AC is after his death.
Okay, so where are we in time?
We are AD.
Okay, how many years AD? After
6,000.
No, we can't AD. Be 6,000. You said 6,000 was from Adam and Eve.
I'm sorry. After from zero to, we are 2000 AD.
Right. We're at 2012.
Yes.
That's correct. So in 2012, where we are, okay, so 2000 years have existed. And who was the last, and what group was that who worshipped, who learned about Yahweh the last 2000 years, first of all?
What group learned about Yahweh before us?
No. What group of people have been learned about Yahweh in the last 2,000 years, from 0 AD or 0 BC, same time, up until today?
The Europeans.
Okay. That's right. The Gentiles. That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, last 2,000 years, the Gentiles have been learning about Yahweh to learn and to worship him if they choose. Okay, so that much we got. Okay, so now you have to go beyond 0 AD and BC. You have to keep going. And what's the next group before that? What the Europeans learned about him?
The next group would be the Israelites.
Okay, the Hebrew Israelites. Okay.
Yes.
And when did they start worshiping Yahweh?
They started 2000 B.C.
There we go. Right. Before Christ. Right. So this is all before Christ, right?
Yes.
Okay. So 2000 B.C. Yes. And that was with who? Who was the one
that
who started?
The Hebrew Israelites.
Right, but who was the individual that started it?
Abraham.
Okay, there we go. So we start with Abraham and we move forward. Good. So So the Hebrew Israelites have been worshiping and understanding Yahweh for how long?
2,000 years.
And the Europeans have been learning about Yahweh and understanding about him for how long?
2,012 years.
Okay. And who was the one who introduced the Gentiles to this? Who was the main leader?
I'm sorry, repeat that question, Professor.
Who was the main leader to introduce the Gentiles, the Europeans, to the gospel?
Who was the main leader?
Yes, who introduced the Europeans, the Gentiles, to the gospel.
The main leader was, what was that man's name? I know.
The great apostle Paul, they call him. Paul spent his time teaching the Gentiles.
Okay, so Paul introduced Yahweh to the Gentiles.
Yep. And that's why they call him the great apostle Paul, because the Gentiles look at him very highly, because without him, they would not have gotten the gospel. So they make him Superman. That's what he says. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's what he refers to himself as. Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we do have individuals that have started these things and allowed certain things to happen. Okay, so the last group, or the first group?
The first group is the Africans.
Okay, and what time frame did they start, and with who?
They started with Adam and Eve, and it would be 2000 B.C.
You said Abraham was 2000 B.C.
I mean, that's right. It would be Abraham. Yeah. So it would be for Abraham 4000 B.C.
Okay, 4000 B.C., that's when the fall of Adam and Eve occurred, yes. And what nationality were they?
Nubians, Ethiopians, okay, Africans.
Good. Yep, okay, Nubians, that's correct. So, as you can see, and how many years have they been worshiping and knowing Yahweh?
From the beginning to now?
Up until now, we're talking about
6,000 years.
You think we should have learned something by now?
We should have.
Okay, so it's very important that we realize of what's been going on. See, what has been happening is that the last group that appeared on the stage has taken over the church to corrupt it, which is the Gentiles, the Europeans. That's why you have your European, you know, the things that are going on. But then they supersede the Israelites by saying that they're more important than the Israelites, and the Israelites in the Old Testament did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them as the Gentiles. The last group on the planet of the earth is more connected to Yahweh than anyone else that has ever lived on the planet. That's called white supremacy. And that's what they teach, and that's what everybody believes, that the people of the Old Testament did not have a relationship with Yahweh like we do, and did not have, you know, all the rest of the stuff. They did not have the Spirit possessing them and this and that, you know, whatever things they want to carry on. To show that anybody who is non-European, non-Gentile, is inferior in their spiritual walk with Yahweh. So that's how they do that. Then they backtrack to Abraham, and then to guarantee that they have a monopoly, they said that they were. Now remember, the Paul who introduced the Gentiles or the Europeans to the gospel was a Hebrew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can see that the Gentiles got Christianity or whatever they want to call this thing that they got from the Hebrews. Okay, so that becomes important that we realize that they were like grafted in, that's all. And even though today we say that the Christians are more important than the Jews and Hebrews and anybody else. So, but we know for sure that they could not have learned anything about the Bible if they didn't have Paul and they didn't have the Hebrews that existed before them. So basically they're grafted in, the Gentiles are grafted into that sector of, because they're the branches, and now I guess we can call the trunk, which the branches come off of, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we can say that Hebrew Israelites is the trunk of the tree. And we can say the branches is the outflow of the Gentiles or Christianity or whatever you want to call this thing. So as you can see, the leaves have been living less, have not been living as long as the trunk, right?
Right.
Okay, and one is an offshoot or a branch off from it. So that without the trunk, there could be no branches. And it gets its nutrients and minerals from the trunk. That's what the branches get, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then we backtrack one more to the root, where the Hebrew Israelites and the European Christians have to understand that they, all that they got, where it came from. It did not come from Abraham. And as we already saw, it did not come from Moses, because of Moses and at that time of Abraham, they were already righteous nations, period. So all they are is the branch from the root. And the root is who? And how long has the root been around?
The root is the Africans.
And how long have they been the root worshiping Yahweh?
6,000 years.
6,000 years, so that others can develop and grow from it, as you put it so clearly. But I wanted us to see that one, and so that's why they were in Egypt. They was in Egypt and understood, Moses understood, the Bible says that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. Did you know that?
Repeat that again.
In the book of Acts, did you know that the Bible says that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt?
That Moses learned all wisdom?
It says that Moses was learned when he was trained under the king, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. As a child, he had learned all the wisdom of Egypt.
All the wisdom of Egypt.
Yep. That's what he was trained. He was trained to be next in charge, right?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, you can't be a king and not know nothing.
True.
That's right. So the Bible lets us know that he was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. And so many people forget that. And if the Egyptians first had monotheism and worshiped Yahweh, then he knew. And he was able to help people see that.
Yeah.
And see, now most people will say that's heresy, because they don't want anything to do with Egypt and Africa.
Right.
But that's still the truth of the matter. So, when we go back to see, and when we go back and nail down that part, then I was just hoping we could see how one depends on the other, how one has been around longer than the other, which is the root, and then the bark and the trees, and then finally the leaves. And as you put it so clearly and succinctly, that all of these people have their, anything that they have has come from us. And we're the mother and the father. We're the parents of all of these other entities.
Yeah.
And we have to come to the realization of that. So you can't hate your children.
Right.
You might not like them. You might not agree with them.
Right. You might
realize they're gangsters and they're killing and murdering and massacring everybody.
Yes.
And so it is here that all of these people who would like to make us look bad, we're still their origin. Everything they got from schools, literature, everything. Misguided. And so it is up to us to turn back to Yahweh so that we might bring all of this together.
Yes.
And so he has left it into our hands to determine what will thou do? I remember in Elijah, Elijah asked Israel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. If Baal, follow him. The Bible talks about that we're in the valley of decision. And that's where we find ourselves, in the valley of decision. Trying to figure out which way shall we go. And if you look at in 1 Kings chapter 18, that's where this is. This is the same position that we find ourselves in today. And we have the prophets of Baal. And we are in the same situation as Elijah. And there will be 3.5 years of no rain nor dew. You have 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll read it there. And they always ask, we the one who trouble Israel.
What verse is that?
1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17.
17. Okay, thank you.
And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Now, Ahab is the king of Israel, him and Jezebel. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, unto Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And that is the question that is asked today. Are we troublers of Israel? Are we revealing the truth? Are we standing up for what is right? And he, Elijah, answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandment of Yahweh, and thou hast followed Baal. So as we can see here, the people are ready to blame you for sharing the truth. But remember, Elijah did not forsake Yahweh. He said, you and your father's house, all of this thing that we call in European Christianity, all of this European views, all of you guys have forsaken Yahweh and his commandments and are following Baal. That's what we're doing today. That's what the Christian world, quote unquote, is doing, following the beast. Now, therefore, ascend and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So as you can see, church and state has united as one. As they would say that the church is incorporated with the state. Such that this, when you marry people, you marry them by the authority invested in me by the state, not by God. And so we see here this Baal worship, or the worship of the beast as we have it today. The system of the Eurocentric viewpoint have totally gotten us off the road. And they have said there's prophets, 450 of them, and they are prophets of Baal, and there's prophets of the grove. So I would assume that we're talking about, we have what they call Eurocentric Christianity and the Euro-Jewish Church. All of them have gathered together. And Yahweh is saying, okay, bring them all together. And Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And what do you think the people said? And the people answered him not a word. Now the reason why they couldn't answer him a word is because they did not even know, but I guess they thought Baal was Yahweh. And Yahweh was Baal. And that's the way it is set up today. We think the Eurocentric viewpoint is Yahweh's word, and it has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And we are calling, we are being called out to make decisions. How long will we halt between these two opinions? Who will we follow? And the people can't say anything. The people cannot say a word. And it's amazing that we would be so caught up into European Christianity that we cannot even tell the difference between what the Bible says and what the church says. We think when we quote the pastor, or we quote these conferences, or we quote these commentaries, or we quote these Sunday school lessons or Sabbath school lessons or whatever we're quoting, that it's the word of God, not knowing it's man's opinion. It has nothing to do with the word of Yahweh. And that's why these people, they were standing there, how can you tell us the difference, bro? What are you talking about? Wait. What do you mean we ain't following Yahweh? We are Israel. And that's what we say today. We are the church. What do you mean we ain't following Yahweh? You crazy? And so that's where we find ourselves. And we have to determine, what will we do? As they say, what must I do to be saved? Because they don't care, they can't tell a difference. And the deception is so great, you can't tell a difference unless you have been studying to show yourself approved. If you have not, there's no way you can tell a difference. You just buy it as if it's the word of God. The same thing if you turn to the book of Joel chapter 3, verse 14. It's also on page 12 in my book. in Joel chapter 3, verse 14.
Joel or Job?
Joel, J-O-E-L.
Okay, thank you.
We find ourselves in the same dilemma. Even at the time of Joel, many books later, many decades later, many hundreds of years later. And verse 14 of chapter 3 in Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. And that's where we are. We are at the precipice to decide whom will we serve. If Yahweh be Elohim, but if you don't know his word, there's no way that you can tell who's Yahweh, who's Elohim, or who's Baal, and who's the who, why are you worshiping the groves? Why are you worshiping the Baal? And people are in the valley of decision, and they have to make decisions, but they have to know the truth so that they can be set free. For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they'll be saying, knowledge of what? We know everything that's being taught. Well, in Hosea 4, verse 6, on page 11 in my book, it tells you, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. And people will tell you, no, we didn't reject knowledge. I said, how many, do you study your Bible? Or do you study what they tell you to study? Do you know your Bible? Do you understand it? Or have you rejected it? And you have now gone after what man teaches and what the church teaches and what is comfortable. And that's why he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge in Hosea 4, 6, because thou hast rejected knowledge. That's the key. We have rejected true knowledge, which Yahweh has given us in his word. I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of Elohim. And I also, and I will also forget thy children. So that's where we are. And everyone has to make those decisions and them calls. Because we are as a multitude in the valley of decision. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge because we have rejected true knowledge, true education, and we have accepted miseducation. How long will we halt between the two opinions? Following man, beast, the Eurocentric viewpoint, or following a thus saith Yahweh, what is written? So we just pray that as we realize our dilemma and where we find ourselves, that we might be able to understand which direction we can go in. Amen. Are there any questions or any comments you would like to make?
No, Professor, just thank you for everything.
All right. We have you offer up a closing word of prayer.
Yes. Let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we lift you up and we give you all the honor and the praise and the glory right now. Will you tell us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we seek you right now. We seek you in the midst of prayer, in the midst of your spirit and in your holiness. And we pray that you continue to teach and pour into us, continue to show us the light. Help us to be that empty vessel that will receive all that you have to give. But also help us to pour out, to be a good teacher, patient, kind. Help us to do your will, for we can't do nothing without you. I thank you for your love and understanding, and we just ask you to use us, to use these vessels to do your work, to help your people, to share your word, so that they will know who you are and that they will want to worship you and serve you and be holy and live according to your laws. Give us strength through the suffering, the rejection, the rebellion. Help us to see past the fruit of the trees that we're seeing today, all the violence and the anger, and give us compassion to dig for the root. Give us compassion to see beyond the surface, Father. Let us be a place that when you call them out, that they will have somewhere to go, to be taught, to grow. We ask you to establish it, Father, according to your will and purpose. We ask you to open doors that no man can shut and to close doors that no man can open. We ask you to move according to your will and purpose. We ask you to continue to anoint us to do what you've called us to do. We take and bind up any fear that the enemy has bestowed upon us. We cast it out right now in the name of Yahshua. We ask you to do what you've called us to do through these vessels and bring the children, Lord. Let your compassion, your love reach out through us as you saw beyond the dirt of our life. Let us see beyond the dirt of others. As you've forgiven us, let us forgive. As you've had mercy on us, let us have mercy. And we praise you. And I ask you to restore the teacher. That you are in power, Father. That without his hurt, without his pain, without his struggles and suffering, he would not be where he is today with you. And even though he may not like it and may not even understand it, but you tell us to lean not to our own understanding. In all thy way acknowledge you, and you shall guide and direct our path. And I pray that you continue to direct his path. Continue to restore Emmanuel. Continue to heal his wounds. Continue to bathe your anointing on his soul and his spirit. That he be not weary in well-doing. That he trust that you have not forsaken him, even though it feels like it. That all is well, Father. For he seeks the truth and walks in holiness. For everything that he's come against, God, it was your prophecy that as we follow you, we shall suffer as Christ did. But I trust, Lord, that you said we shall endure till the end, that you empower him to finish and complete the work that you've called him to do, and bring those who you've equipped to do the job with him that this will be done with love, your love, your agape love. And we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Yahweh bless you.
Yahweh bless you.